Welcome back, already. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trivia Race Podcast.
Welcome.
Be quiet. The Comic Book Club, we read a different trade paperback every single week.
Yup.
I need to focus.
But I can't add them like the Migos.
I'm like Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics. You can't add, you're ad-libbing like fucking Goofy right now.
Yup. Like Goofy. I just said, yeah. Yeah, you couldn't say I was sounding like Lil Jon. That would have been cooler.
Yeah. Lil Jon is an answer on Jeopardy.
Really?
Yeah. There's a whole category of Lil rappers.
Oh, nice.
Mm-mm.
That's a good category. There's a lot of Lils.
One of the answers is Lil Baby and Lil Durk. I'm like, that's fucking hard.
That would be tough. Lil Durk, especially, would be tough.
Oh, dude.
Was there a Lil Wayne?
I think so. I don't think I was paying that much attention to it. Dude, pop culture Jeopardy, there's some that I get where the 9 people playing don't get it. I'm like, fuck these guys. They're stupid.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
All right, here's one. You see a still of Justin Long.
Okay.
And in the question, they mention Sam Raimi. What movie are they referring to?
A Sam Raimi, Justin Long movie?
Yeah.
Probably one of the, like, did he do Die Hard?
No.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen it, but he was in Drag Me to Hell.
He was?
Yeah, he was like the dude in it.
I thought the only horror movie he was in,
I guess, the girl
before Barbarian recognized. Was like Jeep. Wasn't he in Jeepers Creepers?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I thought 90s. That was the only horror movie he did.
No, he's a scream queen, dude.
Wow. I like that guy.
Yeah, and then the sound that Wolverine's claws make.
Schnicked.
Spell it.
Snikt.
Okay, that's correct. But like the,
is that an answer?
Yeah,
like they had to spell.
They didn't have to smell it, but the dude, dude like said it wrong, and then he spelt it, but he spelt it wrong.
So he got the answer wrong.
Yeah, I'm like, it's S N I K T, dude. Fucking dipshit.
How did he spell it?
It's like
CKT.
I think he did like S N N K T, like. Sounded out phonetically, I guess.
You know, some letterers might take that leap.
Perhaps, but I don't think so.
I think a
Snicked is like, there's like a Wolverine manga called Snicked.
That's a good name.
So like, it's very definitive at that point.
What is even a Snicked?
It's just a, like when you,
it's not like a shing, you know? It's not like
yeah, because it's swords set into place. That's where they
lock into place.
Yeah.
That's what the ict is.
Mm-hmm.
In the sn is the blades coming out?
Yep.
Mm.
You know when you like rub,
because I feel like in the,
when you rub knives together.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of it more like two samurai swords like clanging or something, or like, I guess, swiping off of each other.
I guess
that's the noise that I like, but I think that's only because it's in like X-Men Origins Wolverine, the best X-Men movie.
Oh no! It always,
what's
felt
your favorite,
like,
X-Men movie? Go.
X-Men movie?
Yeah.
I guess Days of Future Past.
That's the right answer.
But
that would win on Pop Culture Jeopardy.
I think if I'm choosing one from that universe, I'm always going to choose Logan, though.
Well, that's a good answer, like, too.
I'd rather watch that just kind of.
I haven't seen it since in theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking smacks, dude.
Yeah, sure does. I want to watch all the X-Men movies with Sophie. It'd be kind of fun if we just watched Days of Future Past, though, because she has no idea how awesome it is.
You should watch it in like timeline order.
So start with Origins Wolverine, technically.
I guess so, yeah. And then after that, it'd be like first class.
And then first class.
Yeah.
It'd be really jarring to go to just X-Men and then X2, though.
Yeah, no, never mind.
You're kind of ending on a low note. X-Men 3.
Yeah, and then
after that would be technically Days. When would you watch Days of Future Past? Because that's just kind of the, in the middle of all that shit. After three. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Jean's dead.
Mm, it's too confusing.
I like them. I watched them all.
I haven't rewatched like X2 in like forever.
That one's arguably most rewatchable, you know?
Isn't it?
Dude, the fucking opening scene
of like
is the coolest thing of all time.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. That's why I like Nightcrawler.
Yeah, because of that movie.
I think so. He's also like pretty fucking sweet and like a weird character.
Yeah.
Anyway,
We got a podcast. We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Wesley Dodds, : The Sandman.
Yes, sir.
We got Backbiter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. Nathan, what kind of news we got today?
Oh man, we got news. You like David Finch? You just met him.
I didn't talk to him.
You didn't?
No.
You didn't say, I like your stuff?
I said that to him like 6 years ago after he did Batman.
He was here at a different year?
David Finch? Yeah, he's been here like 3 or 4 times.
Are you sure?
Since he was on Batman.
And yeah. I still don't... Since he was on Batman?
Yeah.
Like 5 years ago?
He was on like the first run of... He was on Rebirth. He started Rebirth.
I know he started Rebirth.
That was like 2018.
But that was like... Yeah, 2018. Mm, interesting.
And he came around like issue 18 because he was on the I Am Bane storyline.
Mm. Well, he's doing a book with Robert Kirkman.
Yep.
It's called Skin Breakers.
Yep.
Don't know what it's about.
September 24th.
I didn't look that hard. September 24th.
Good for him because he keeps coming and I don't have more stuff for him to sign.
I know. I want to fucking get him to sign something for me. Because I didn't get Batman Rebirth because I'm stupid.
Oh,
I didn't have the investor knowledge.
What a whiff!
Yeah,
who doesn't get Batman number one?
I think I was just like too cool for it.
Nathan, here's a little inside baseball for you with comics.
Number one,
Matt Fraction. He's gonna go be on Batman. You should buy it.
Whoa, I'm going to.
Anyway,
what do you got,
Nathan? We got a teaser for Spaceballs 2.
I saw that.
Coming 2027.
I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it too.
It's definitely been a long time.
I don't know.
But I think it can only be good.
I don't know how it can be good.
It's going to reference everything.
Because if it's like Spaceballs 1, I don't know if that holds up. I don't know if like new Spaceballs vibes work.
There's going to be some updating to it.
Yeah. But I don't know if people like the updating either. So I think it'll be kind of tough. But there's been enough shitty Star Wars to make fun of, so it could be good too. I don't know.
So the guy who plays like the Han Solo-esque character,
yeah,
his son is the guy who played like Sentry in Thunderbolts.
Really?
Yeah. And so he's gonna be playing some sort of Ben Solo-esque character.
Let's go. All right, I'm in.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank
you. Now here's a news article that made me laugh.
Yeah, let's hear it.
IDW Publishing states they will definitely be around for another year.
That's such a scary line.
What do you mean? Well, I thought you were doing good. You just got a Quiet Place or whatever.
You got a new logo.
You just got a new IDW Dark logo or whatever. So
Jesus.
Yeah, apparently they're struggling.
It's so strange with like Ninja Turtles and stuff.
I mean, I guess they're doing good because they know that they're going to be around for another year. So, you know.
What do you think? Do you think Skybound scoops up Ninja Turtles if they go under?
Yeah.
Probably, right?
I would try to do that, yeah.
I don't think they'd go Dark Horse or anything. Just because of how big of a property it is.
Is it like Eastman and Laird that decide where it goes?
I don't think so, no.
No?
I think they don't own the comics rights.
Mm, okay.
So, I don't...
Or they,
but
they
also
probably
don't know at all. But
like,
that
I don't know.
Because like there's plenty, they're not always doing the book, you know. I'm sure they get
Royalties,
yeah.
Mm, okay. Interesting. Yeah, that just made me laugh.
Nathan, big news.
What's up?
Did you hear any big news this last week?
No.
Mr. Miracle is getting a TV show.
Did we talk about that last week?
No.
Didn't?
I think it happened like the day right after we recorded.
Oh, okay. Yeah, big news. We met both of those guys that made that comic.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Tom King is going to show run it, I guess?
Mitch knows us. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
That's pretty cool. Do you think this will work?
No.
I think is the big question. Yeah. But it could.
It could.
Yeah.
I just don't think it will.
I'm going to watch it. It just works really good as a comic, though.
I think it might.
I kind of like
it depends.
That
it's animated. I feel like
it's kind of like the Harley Quinn like style look to it.
Okay, yeah. I just don't know what like a. I feel like if you're gonna show run something for the first time, Because Tom King's the showrunner, I guess, which is kind of interesting.
That's probably good.
But, like, if you're showrunning for the first time, do you showrun animation? Like, do you even fully grasp how that whole world even works? You know what I mean?
I think it's more just, like,
I feel like it'd be,
he says what he wants, and then people do it kind of thing.
I guess so. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that he got that opportunity, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I like the Harley Quinn animation. I watched a couple seasons of that show. I think it's pretty good.
I think it'd be fun to, you know, continue to see Darkseid and whatnot.
Yeah, I think so.
In the New Gods stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, pretty cool. There's going to be a new Red Hood series coming out. It's a new ongoing from Gretchen Felker Martin and Jeff Spokes, releases September 10th. Apparently, it's something that spins out of Hush 2.
Hmm.
So that's cool.
Did you see that? His new, like, look?
He's got a red hood. And he's got a, like, a face mask thing.
Okay. So you're just describing the character as we know him?
Yeah. Well, you're kind of incorporating the two looks that he has. Because when he takes off the helmet that he normally has, he's got, like, the little face mask thing.
Hold on.
The cheekbone mask. It feels like they changed that design more than any other Bat Family design.
Yeah. I saw this variant.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I see here.
What's your live reaction to that?
It looks a little goofy. At least the way that guy draws it, I guess. But the main cover maybe looks a little bit cooler. Just I don't know.
What kind of adds some, like, almost like tackiness to it is, like, having the jacket leather
hood, cotton or polyester perhaps.
Cotton hood, that's crazy.
How you can protect your head? Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, if you look at it, he's got like three layers on. You know, he's got this armor on his neck for some reason.
Yeah,
hood that's also buckled, and then jacket.
Ooh, yeah, you're right. And Gotham's supposed to be like hot, isn't it?
Yeah, dude. Is that white in his hair?
Yeah, he's got like a white streak or something.
What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, see, that's what I'm telling you. They changed him around a lot.
I'm pretty...
You remember when he was just like a normal-looking white dude?
I want a mask, you know, not just the hood. Like, I like the helmet, you know?
I like the helmet. What if helmet and hood?
Yeah, they do that. They've been doing that, I feel like, lately.
I think that's a good idea.
I think that works. Because, like, then that just makes him Robin with the hood the way he is now.
Yeah, but, I mean, then the name Red Hood.
Well, that's never made sense, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Even the Red Hood gang, you know?
Yeah, they didn't have Red Hoods. They had, like, red triangle heads or whatever it was.
Yeah. Anyway.
Daniel, there's going to be a new Star Wars series called Han Solo Hunt for the Falcon. It's going to be kind of like an old man Han Solo when he, like, decides to go get the Millennium Falcon back. So it's, like, sequel trilogy time period set. And he's got to go, like, find Chewbacca and be like, you want to help me again, old chum?
So maybe between 6 and 7, I guess. Oh, yeah, that would be the only thing that makes sense. So
correct. Yes.
That's cool.
That's kind of fun. It's going to be...
I'm down for that.
Rodney Barnes and Ramon Rosanas are teaming up. They were the people that did Star Wars Inquisitors.
Is it Rodney Barnes, like the Philadelphia guy?
No.
No?
No.
Who did Philadelphia?
I don't know. You might be right. I feel like they would say... That's one of the guys from Philadelphia instead of this is the Star Wars Inquisitors.
Yeah, it is, dude.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, that guy's good.
Nice. I'm down.
Yeah, I'm kind of down for that too then. Old man Han Solo. Kind of fun.
Who's the artist?
Ramon Rosanas.
When's that come out?
September 3rd.
Jeez. I guess fucking September solicitations came out.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because like, we'll just get all this shit that comes out in September.
Yeah.
Nathan, speaking of stuff that comes out in September.
What else you got?
Battle World. September 24th. From Christos Gage and Marcus Tu.
Yeah.
A 5-issue series. And there's just another one. And
it came back?
Yeah, but it's all the... Who knows if it ever went anywhere.
I think it did, didn't it? After Secret Wars?
I don't know. Is Battle World...
Battle World's the Secret War area.
Yeah.
But I think after Hickman Secret Wars, they were just like, this is just 616 now, and everything else goes away.
Is Battle World supposed to be Earth? It's like a fighting planet.
It's like a puzzle of different universes, and they just kind of smash them all into one.
I thought it was people from different universes go to that planet.
It's like pieces of different universes, like chunks of land almost.
So you have to go to this chunk of land to go to Battle World?
No, I'm saying, like, let's say Gotham, that's picked up, it's put in Battle World, and then
so Earth has no Gotham now.
Earth has no Gotham, and then other universe they pick up Star City. They also put down a Battle World. Those are two things right next to each other now. That's how I understand it. It's like different pieces. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe?
I don't know if you've
read a Battle World series before.
You have?
Yeah, World Black Knight. I picked that up for some reason.
You did.
And the MODOK thing was a Battle World thing. The MODOK
book. That didn't explain anything.
It did. Remember there goes MODOK and he goes to the Thor.
Do you think I remember anything about that book?
That was the best book we ever read on the show.
Is that why you have a hard copy of it?
No, I don't. But you hated that way more than I did. I thought it was kind of fun.
I didn't hate it. It was just fine.
But I don't really care about Battle World too much. I think it's going to be like, because like a result of what happens in Imperial. And I think that's why.
Yeah, I guess Imperial is like a,
it'll probably,
it leads up to,
it's like a big cosmic or thing. Something. Yeah.
And I'm like, we'll fuck, see. I bought it already. Nathan.
Yo.
Big news for you.
Oh, okay.
Fridging has been added to Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow, big Green Lantern W. we're part of history now.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
That's such a good word.
Yeah.
Holds a lot of weight.
Yeah, it's a heavy word.
And I'm always interested in how people know it, because I'll hear it occasionally.
It's like referred to in like other media.
Yeah, it's referred to in movies a lot, but yeah. I don't think people know Ball like I do.
Yeah.
And how...
Yeah, what's it from, Nathan?
It's from an issue of Green Lantern.
Which one?
It would have been like 54 or something like that.
Nailed it.
Is it 54?
Yeah.
Oh my god. See, I know Ball.
I looked it up.
I remember it was like a couple of issues after Kyle Rayner got introduced and they needed somebody for him to fight. And so they got like Demon, I believe.
Etrigan the Demon,
I think. Because he was the one that helped blow up Emerald City or whatever that Green Lantern like lives in, which made him go crazy and get all the rings.
Ah.
And so, anyway, after all that was done, they got Kyle Rayner, but they needed that villain to do something bad to Kyle Rayner to get him to want to fight him, essentially. And so they killed his girlfriend and chopped her up and put her in the fridge for him to find so that he had a reason to go fight. And that's just like a really big, like, unjust way to, like, kill a female character and then just get the male character to like be angry about something, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it's like a microcosm of like problems and how men literature. Write things. Yeah, yeah. In literature in general. So that's where the fridging term comes from.
Mm-hmm.
From Green Lantern, baby. Misogyny at its finest. That's funny. I got the issue right. I have that issue.
You do?
Yeah, I read it.
That's awesome.
It's one of my favorite issues.
I was thinking, I'm like, I wonder if he has this.
I should get that graded. That would be so funny. Origin, like, it's like first appearance of fridging. Not write that on there.
I saw like a 9.8 going for like $300.
Of that?
Yeah.
Really? I probably have like a 6 or something. Ah, no, 6 is pretty shitty. I probably have like a 8.3 or something.
You're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Daniel, there's a series called No Man's Land number 1 coming in September 2025. It's not really from anybody that I Batman? Know. No. But it's coming from Image Comics. It's going to be from a writer-artist named Szymon Kudrowski. He's the creator behind Blood Commandment, Something Epic. I don't really know him, but I read the solicitation for it, and it's kind of cool. So I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
So it's like kind of based off of like real things that happen, but each winter, an ice bridge forms between the U.S. and Russia. At the Diomedes. It's a phenomenon known as the Ice Curtain. In 1963, a young woman's body is found lying dead on this frozen, disputed territory. With tensions between the U.S. and the USSR already stretched thin, an FBI agent and a KGB operative are forced into a fragile alliance to solve the murder before the ice melts. And it sparks a global catastrophe.
Yeah, I saw this cover today, I think.
Yeah, and it's inspired by real-life disappearances and unsolved Cold War mysteries tied to the like islands over there. So, you know, based off of like a true story, but kind of putting a whodunit to that story, I guess.
Is that like a 7 variant?
It looks like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that seems interesting. I might check that one out. I saw a couple pages of the art and it looks good. Also, Mike Mignola coming out with a new written and drawn project called Yuri Tupka and the Gods. It's going to be a sequel to his Bowling with Corpses book.
Huh.
That was a pretty big hit last year. Comes February 2026.
That's so far.
That's so far, but he's working on it. That's pretty cool.
It's like 9 months.
It takes a long time.
Eight months.
It's going to be like a graphic novel, so it's all there.
I just requested that day off. And I was like, this is way too far in advance.
Yeah, true.
People are going to forget about it. Anyway.
That's all I got.
All you got. Perfect. Nathan, what book did we read this week after you finished your sip?
We read Wesley Dodd's The Sandman. And no, we're not talking about Adam Sandler.
We're not talking about Dream or anything like that.
Yeah,
Morpheus.
It is from Robert Venditti, Riley Rossmo, and Ivan Placencia. That's part of the somewhat recent Dawn of DC line of books that was coming out.
Oh, yeah.
So fairly recent. It was like last year, I think. So pretty cool. Oh, and Tom Napolitano for lettering.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this book, Daniel?
It's pretty good. It was like a grounded, like solid detective story, you know?
Yeah.
It's interestingly set in the 40s. Which is fun.
I love that.
Which brings its own set of problems.
Mm-hmm.
I love his settings, like that he draws, Riley Rossmo.
Yeah.
And I knew of this book, and I'm like, oh, I should check that out someday. You know, learn about old Sandman, JSA era. Yeah. And when I found out that Riley Rossmo did the art on this, I'm like,
He's good.
It surprisingly works really well.
He's great in this. You don't like Riley Rossmo that much because of Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn wasn't great, in my opinion.
That book is not his strongest.
His art works.
He did a Martian Manhunter book with like Tim Seeley, I think. That's so good.
I'm sure. Yeah. Like I follow Riley Rossmo. I'm not anti or anything.
Uh huh.
But I just had a hesitation, you know?
Yeah. Fair.
And I think his style kind of lends itself to a retro look,
totally,
which fits for this.
Yeah,
you know?
Seeing him do pulp noir stuff set in the 40s, it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he necessarily hits when it comes to dark detective kind of stuff.
What?
Or some of the horrors of war that he's referring to.
What?
I understand he drew the thing that he was supposed to draw, but I don't think it was necessarily it's still kind of in this
you don't think it looks
fun,
like brutal?
Cartoony style.
Interesting.
I guess I'm a little, I've been reading a lot of Derek Robertson lately, so it's a little unfair to compare.
That is unfair.
And so I'm a little conditioned to some more fucked up looking stuff. But it does work. He gets the point across, but
I like seeing that side of his stuff. I was actually hesitant on this because of Robert Venditti. He did a Green Lantern run, yeah. Yeah, you've repeated the thing that I said incorrectly back to me. And it's a very sobering reminder that I'm only human, so thank you.
You said run, or you said wrong?
I said rung, accidentally.
Oh, I heard you say wrong.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, that's funny.
I didn't love it.
Yeah, pretty long Green Lantern wrong instead of run.
Yeah, he did he took over New 52 Green Lantern after Geoff Johns left. And it's is that right?
Not the business. Was he?
Yeah, it was Rebirth? He was Rebirth.
Mm, yeah, I remember.
And it's fine. So when I saw this, I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. And I think I tried reading his Hawkman because he did Hawkman with Brian Hitch, and I was like, this is too much. But I really like this.
Yeah.
This is definitely my favorite thing, maybe from both of them, both Riley Rossmo and Robert Venditti.
That's valid, yeah.
Because I just think that. One, I don't really know anything about the Sandman, so this is a cool introduction and a whodunit.
Yeah.
And I like how Sandman's kind of like an Oppenheimer type character, but he just kind of did things accidentally, or he didn't want his stuff to kill people, whereas Oppenheimer, I guess, that was kind of his goal.
Yeah.
But I like that sort of perspective, and I think the art style is really great because there's a lot of cool effects that he does with the fog of stuff that he does, and it fits the page really well. So I like the vibes. Vibes are really important when you're doing like a period piece, and correct. I think the vibes are all there, 100%. So let's get into it. So it's 1940 wartime America. Wesley Dodds, who's the Sandman, he's already the Sandman, is traumatized by his father's great war stories and the effects that it had on him as like a young child. So now he patrols the streets as Sandman, catching criminals that he sees in his dreams. I don't really know how his powers work. Wesley and his father's friend Wheeler Vanderlyle meet with war colonel dude named Breckinridge to discuss a non-lethal sleep gas that America can use for war, so that it like puts the enemies to sleep instead of just brutally killing them. But the colonel hates that it's non-lethal and he kicks him out. And later, while Sandman is just kind of running around, he returns to his house, which is burning down. And that's the end of the first issue.
He's got great splash pages.
Oh my God. Yeah, this first one, I'm like, hell yes, dude. Like, because that's just an example of like how he uses the smoke or like the fog of everything to like fill up the page in such a cool way.
Best line in this book, Sandman says, "Organized crime is a profitable business for you." And he's like, "But justice is the business of the Sandman."
Yeah, I think that's great. I should write that down.
It works so well for like how like comics would even be at this time.
Yeah, I think what Robert Venditti does really good job.
He nails the dialogue.
The dialogue feels like it's 1940s without it being like too much
and like annoying.
Too wordy or too much. They have kind of like a vernacular that fits without it being like too obnoxious.
Yeah.
So I really like that.
So he's got like a...
Yeah.
He's got like fear toxins and stuff.
Correct.
And he shoots out of a gun, but he's always got a gas mask on, so it doesn't bother him.
Yep. I feel like the war colonel dude kind of has a point with like the non-lethal gas stuff, because he brings up like, what are the logistics of us like capturing a lot of those enemies after we gas them, you know?
Yeah.
And how expensive that would be. And he's like, it's cheaper to just kill people fast. And I'm like, fucked up, but I understand his point at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like Wesley should have had a good rebuttal for that kind of point, because I'm sure he thought about doing a non-lethal thing, but what do you do after that when they wake back up, you know? So I think that's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, so I guess it'd be more expensive to like hold them.
Yeah, keep them somewhere, feed them, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Humphreys as a butler name. What do you rate it?
It's a good butler name. I give it like an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10?
Yeah.
I agree. What was that one that I recently had? That was like pretty good.
What recent book had a butler?
Ooh.
The Wolfman guy?
Wolfman. His name is Dunford.
Dunford's a 10 out of 10. right up there with Alfred in my eyes.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be like a kind of fancy name, but something you could yell, you know?
Be like, yeah. Alfred.
You know?
Humphreys. It's probably more of a last name, honestly.
Was Dunford a first name?
I think so. I guess it could also be a last name.
I want to name a dog Dunford.
Dunford would be a good one.
That'd be such a good dog name. Colors are really strong in this book.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I feel like every sort of setting has its own really distinct color palette. I think what I like about Sandman and something that I feel like only works in comics is that you could be in like a dark fighting situation, but then when he shoots his like gas out of the gun, the gas almost seems like neon in a way. And then like if you do that in live action, it'd probably just like look corny, you know what I mean? So like it specifically only works for comics in this way,
right?
Which I really appreciate it. And question: Wesley Dodds, he's got these big ass glasses.
Yes.
Is he putting that shit on under his mask when he's the Sandman?
Maybe his gas mask has like prescription lenses.
Yeah, but like he still has his glasses on when he takes off. Like even in this page, he has the Sandman mask and then he's got his glasses on like right here.
So I guess he does have them on.
Yeah, like these things are matte. Like his regular glasses are more massive than the Sandman lenses. Like that's absurd. Do you think I could rock shit like that with my glasses?
I think you could try.
I certainly could.
And you wouldn't let anyone say damn thing.
True.
I like how Riley Osmo draws feet, especially women's feet. They're just like these little rat feet.
It looks like, in Dexter's laboratory, like the mom who's like always walking on like tippy toes, kind of like a Mr. Krabs type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that was like something we noticed with Harley Quinn. Like, he'd do, like, Batman's legs just, like, super wide, like, cylinders, basically. Oh, yeah. With, like, toes.
I like that. I like when he takes liberties and just kind of fucks around with proportions, because it makes pretty good, really fun style. Lettering also feels really dynamic in this book, because there's a lot of, like, pows that hit really hard, because they're just kind of, like, overlaid over the actual action of the panel. Or when, like, the fire department's going down the street, you see, like, the path that the letters takes, which is, like, the path of, like, the actual ambulance.
Right.
Which is pretty fun. And they do that, like, consistently throughout this book, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's, like, where it's, like, unique lettering, you know?
Totally.
They could have just pasted it right on top of that, but it's, like...
It's, like, part of the story.
Under, like, the art and stuff like that.
Yeah, it contributes to the movement of the actual panel, which is really cool.
Not sure if that's Riley or the other dude. But
I don't know, because there's some examples where the lettering onomatopoeia is the panel. Where it's like a bang or a bam or something, and like inside
that's
of the
word.
That's
probably Riley.
That's probably Riley, but I think something like this is what's his face? The letter of the book. Which is
Tony something?
Tom Napolitano.
Yeah.
So pretty good. Issue 2, Daniel. So the fire chief tells Wesley that a thief broke into Wesley's house to steal stuff out of his safe.
Daniel Warren Johnson cover. Variant.
Oh yeah, super cool. So a thief broke into Wesley Dodd's house to steal stuff from a safe, and he set fire to the house to cover his tracks, but he got caught in the fire and died. Wesley finds some Sandman stuff in his journal with findings of toxic chemical formulas were stolen from the house, so he thinks it was like a pretty pointed thievery. Wesley moves into an apartment owned by Mr. Vanderlyle, which is his dad's friend. And he has dreams of an evil Sandman doing evil stuff with his toxic findings. And then he breaks into a police precinct, finds out the thief was probably a man named Igor Cluj. And we see that there is an evil black Sandman running around now, just like his dreams.
He's got like a black like cloak thing. Like,
yeah.
Like,
exactly.
And hat.
Which
means evil.
It's just evil. If you're black, you're evil. In the 40s. So is this like, does he have like an actual power?
No.
Because it seems like he can dream the future a little bit.
Maybe he just has trippy dreams sometimes.
Because I think part of him running around as a Sandman is that he like dreams crimes that are happening, which is why he's patrolling the streets and knows where crime's going to happen. But I don't really know. I don't really know anything about this character.
Let me see what the old Goog says.
Yeah.
Oh, prophetic dreams. Expert chemist and inventor.
Prophetic, like, so prophecy dreams?
Yeah.
Okay.
Expert hand-to-hand combatant, athlete, and marksman. Skilled detective. Mm. Use of gas mask and gas gun. So, yeah. Exactly what you said.
Okay. Well, they didn't say that implicitly, but it happens multiple times. So, we learn by reading in this book, which is good. There's a panel on page 33 where he finds out that his Sandman stuff was stolen. And it just kind of makes me laugh just from the angle that it was happening on. But just like his reaction to like, oh shit, there's nothing in my little drawer. And that makes me laugh. But these dream sequences are like pretty wild. Because they're always like a big splash page of just like something happening. And he's like worried about, you know, the repercussions of some deadly stuff in his journal being used against people.
Yeah.
But I think this horror is pretty good. I agree. It's like a little bit more cartoony than what like a Derek Robertson would do. But I still defend the fact that this is pretty good body horror, regardless.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, with the...
Some of them do look goofier than others, so I'll give you that.
Yeah, like, you being used to, like, his art after, like, the first issue, and then going into this, it does, like, you almost, like...
You warm up to it.
Warm up to it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I like how he, like, has a camera... When he goes to the precinct,
yeah,
like, and it's like this big ass camera.
I love it, dude. I fucking love it. That's why I like the vibes, dude. Because he's like,
oh, if he had a phone,
he like breaks in and he has this like whack ass light bulb that he has to use, to, like, look at stuff in the dark.
Yeah,
like you can't just use your phone light.
Like, yeah, you know,
or like, yeah, this panel. Are you fucking kidding me, dude? Look at this when he's like taking pictures of shit. Oh my god, it's so good.
Like. Security should be coming immediately.
Yeah, I'd be like, what the fuck was that?
A little flashbang went off.
He's like, oh, I'm going to go check it out.
And he's got to like develop him.
Yeah, he's got to take him to the red room. It's so good. I fucking love, dude. Man, I want to learn just outdated technology like this.
You know, I saw someone who like was at a con like the weekend before ours and was doing those old timey like portraits with like this big ass camera thing that was on this huge stand, and it was like,
does he have to go under the little cloak?
I think so. I can't remember, and but it was yeah, it was that type of thing.
That's cool.
And you just saw like the camera like slowly develop the picture that it just took. It was just weird.
I saw this video where you could like, if you take actual like film that things like polar or like old timey cameras like this would use, you can set up a can somewhere with like a little hole in it, and as the day goes on, it's like a super long exposure picture. And like the sun being in different angles will like capture, like you can make a camera out of like an empty soda can essentially, and like puncturing a hole in it. And if you just put it somewhere in nature, it'll like work, which is fucking wild, because the light hits it for long enough time that it like puts something on the actual picture, which is cool.
Huh.
Neat. It's wild. I don't know how like anything works, dude.
Yeah. There's a website that'd be great for you to visit. It's called howstuffworks.com. Check it out.
Is it kind of like How It's Made, but in website form?
Yeah.
I love that show.
So you got to the part where he's like interrogating some people that are robbing like a store. And so the cure to like his fear toxin is like meth. Because they're all like super high and they're not knocked out by like the gas.
It's not the cure, but you become more resistant to it if you're hopped up on like methamphetamines and adrenaline and stuff. And so he like puts the gun in this dude's mouth and shoots it off in there.
That'd do the trick.
And like this gas gun design is kind of interesting because it seems like the canister goes on the barrel of the thing that he's shooting, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But he also has like, it's like there's like a wire or something that goes to him.
It's probably like
air compressor thing.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, CO2 or something. Yeah. Compressed air.
So, pretty cool.
Yeah, they're not like shying away from like how impractical this like whole setup could be.
This shit would be clunky as hell.
Yeah.
So, issue 3, the Sandman sneaks into the morgue to examine the dead thief, but the coroner, who he's like buddies with, says that there's evidence of him being dead before the fire, which means that the body was planted there. So,
or he was killed before the fire.
Yeah, he was killed before the fire, but there's no evidence of him dying from the fire. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the body was most likely planted.
That's some good fucking autopsying, you know?
Yeah, I know. And when I saw that, I was like, fuck yes.
I was like,
this is awesome.
What a detail.
Yeah, I know. So Mr. Vanderlyle says that Wesley's been acting weird, but Diane, his girlfriend, I think, backs him up. The night Sandman goes back to his burnt house to look for more clues, and he runs into the evil Sandman from his dreams, the black one. And so there's a fight that they go through. Both of their like faces get exposed to sleep gas. The black Sandman gets away, and Wesley is stuck in his own like sleep gas thing. And that's that issue.
Yeah, so I guess like the eyes would have hemorrhaged if it was like exposed to smoke or something.
There's certain like,
but they weren't,
capillary things that would have happened in his eyes if that's how he died, because he's trying to get oxygen or whatever.
Right, but they were fine.
And I'm like, fuck yeah. I like that he's buddies with the coroner. That's like such a cool,
that's a good one.
That's a cool like vigilante thing to do.
Yeah, good homie.
Yeah. And the coroner's like, I just like that I can help. So he has like no problem helping this vigilante. But yeah. I love this shit. Like finding out that this dude was planted there as like a ruse to make it seem like, oh, he just fucked up trying to steal whatever.
Right.
So good.
Smart criminals.
Yeah.
You see the Jeff Lemire variant?
Oh my God. Yeah, he's great in this.
There's like two of them.
I feel like they gave him this because there was that other book that he did where there's a guy with a gas mask. Because he did some shit with Scott Snyder, right? It was like that magazine book. I forget what it was called. But I think that character had a gas mask.
Yeah, I remember that. I thought you were talking about like, I don't know. Yeah, dude. It wasn't like After Earth. It was
something like that. I think it was what he did like right after Moon Knight.
So, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so the Sandman's telling the coroner, he's like, oh, it's probably this Igor Kluge guy because he's was like missing, you know, and
He was dishonorably discharged.
He's the only one that, like, narrows it down. But there's really, like, at this point, there's no way of, like, actually determining that that's him, you know? Like, there wasn't, like, DNA stuff back then.
Oh, yeah.
So he just kind of, like, took his word for it.
Were dental records, like, a thing?
Maybe. But they didn't mention that, you know?
Yeah, true.
They didn't even have dentists back then, I bet.
Yeah, probably not. They figured that out later. Something that I like about what Riley Rossmo does in his action is that he makes it feel 1940s. Like, some of the fighting poses that they do when the two Sandman, like, figures fight, it just feels like very, like, razzle-dazzle type posing. Like, look at this top one right here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he poses people fighting like that in modern books. Like, this is, like, a 1940s, like, let me at him, like, type stuff. And I like that.
Another quote I like from this. So he tells Diane, his like girlfriend or whatever, he's like, I promise this will all be over soon. And then the next caption's like, the falsehood fell so easily from my lips.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's such a great way to say you lied. You
know? He's like a nicer Rorschach.
Kind of, yeah.
Like, he knows what he's doing and he knows it's like kind of wrong. But yeah.
I think it's funny that, like, not only is, like, the evil Sandman, his hat's, like, black, but it's, like, bigger, you know?
Yeah.
Bigger hats means eviler.
The brim's bigger.
Yeah.
And he's got red lenses.
And he's fucking strapped.
You know, he did, like, he put a lot of thought, this evil Sandman put a lot of thought into, like, what he was going to look like. Because he's got, like, a suit type thing on, I think. Like, he has a collared shirt with a tie.
Yeah. I mean, and so does Sandman. But then he just has, like, the big jacket over it, like, okay, the peacoat kind of thing.
But the lenses are red, and so is the collar of the jacket that the evil Sandman has.
Yeah, like, the underside of, like, the cape part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very Batman.
Yeah, super cool. So, issue 4.
I had a prediction. I'm like, he's like, this guy is no way he's doing or something like that. I'm like, oh, what if it's a woman?
That'd be,
what a twist. I typed in, like, prediction, a woman?
You have a 50-50 shot. That's a coin flip.
Yeah, I know. But he keeps assuming it's a dude, you know? Like they do in the 40s.
Yeah, true.
And then Sandman gets high off his own supply.
He does. Can't be doing that.
Mm-mm.
We know that from Breaking Bad.
And Biggie Smalls' 10 Crack Commandments.
I can't say I'm familiar.
Mm, good song.
Issue 4. We do get another Jeff Lemire cover.
Is there...
So Wesley is experiencing the effects of his gas. He's like reliving every selfish or bad thing that he's done in his life. He wakes up 2 days later and he's in his apartment being taken care of by Diane. Wesley pretty much pieces together that the war colonel, Breckinridge, is probably the mastermind behind all this. And he suspects that Mr. Vanderlyle might be helping. So when Wesley goes to Vanderlyle's apartment, Vanderlyle is currently being choked out by the evil Sandman. And so they fight. Wesley accidentally pushes the man out of the window where he falls to his death.
Yeah, he had this like crazy kick that kicked him out the window and then like over a balcony too.
Yeah, like that was a pretty strong kick. Like, yeah. I don't know if that's accidental.
That's like 10 feet.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong one. And he was stabbed in the stomach at the same time, or like slashed at least. So yeah, pretty strong guy.
This issue starts with 3 double page spreads of his trip.
Unreal.
Pretty.
That's great. A bad trip. Yeah. You got 3 double page spreads. Yeah. And they're all great. Like, all of them are really kind of interesting in their own way, too. Cause, like, the last one has, like, this character design that is awesome, but I have no idea what it is. Like, what the hell is that thing?
It's some.
He's got, like, a scythe and it's, like, a horse skull mask. Yeah. Or
it's
something.
Like a minotaur kind of thing.
Yeah.
With, like, that has, like, 4 legs.
It's. Awesome.
It looks like that Overwatch Reaper dude.
Oh, Reaper?
Yeah.
I think that's his name.
Yeah, but he's got like 2 sickles.
It reminded me of the villain in Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Oh, like Death or whatever?
Yeah, the wolf dude, except this is a skull. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all of these are like kind of interesting. So very bold of them to do that. And I'm sure this took Riley Rossmo forever.
Why is he dreaming about the JSA?
Because he has like future dreams, right?
Ah,
and so he's like, I don't know what these. I think in the
can't trust that one specifically though.
Yeah, and the captions, he's like, I see these like costumed figures, and I don't know what they're doing. But we see some Green Lantern in there. Did you see that?
Oh yeah,
it looks like he's jerking off or something. But so this fight scene at the end adds to the mystery of the story, which is also great because it's like the guy that he is suspected of kind of being involved in this is being choked at by the guy that he just fought. So pretty cool twist of events there. And then the, you know, lettering of this fight scene are pretty fun too.
Some of the, like you're saying, like the body poses are just so like retro. Like I think you'd only see it in like these kind of like
period pieces.
Like look at Diane like holding a gun.
Yeah. that goes fucking hard. It looks like she's trying to like
that's
get
like
closer.
A kill shot.
Yeah. She's trying to get closer to
like,
make
don't
sure
fuck
she...
with her. She's leaning into it.
Yeah, she's leaning into it. Yeah. There's less time to dodge the more closer you are.
Yeah.
There's a line at the very end, like the way this issue ends is with Wesley being like, there's only one option left, treason.
Yeah.
And I like that line a lot because it's kind of funny.
I believe the word for it is treason.
And it's so dramatic. Like that would be the...
It shows like some like army camp.
It would be the ending dialogue for like a cliffhanger of a soap opera at this time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it. So issue 5.
Raphael Albuquerque cover, dude.
Oh my lord, yeah, he's great.
Oh,
that guy needs
that's my favorite one.
Some pulp stuff.
Yeah. Give me some of that.
I would love that. So issue 5.
Look at the ears on this guy.
This guy's got some ears. He looks like
he could hear the crime.
He's like Daredevil.
Yeah.
So the police investigate the crime scene. Wesley and Diane have no idea who the man is. Wesley still needs his like missing notebook because that's nowhere to be found. So he kidnaps the Colonel Breckenridge dude and he gets him to confess to stealing the notebook for manufacturing weapons while Sandman is secretly recording him on a vinyl. And so
I did not see that coming. It's not like a secret.
Well, that's not like a thing
pocket.
That people think about. Like, you know, yeah. You're wearing a wire or something. Like, this is the '40s. He probably doesn't even know how a vinyl even works, you know?
Yeah.
And so
I didn't know I could do that. I thought it had to be pressed or something.
It does, but you can still, the way that you record it is you record it on like a vinyl as well. And then that gets like stamped.
Oh,
but I saw a video on like how it works. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I see like a ton of people, like just the pressing of them, you know, where they put like little,
the pressing is cool.
The little rocks or whatever and make it all tie-dye again.
Little pebbles.
In there.
But like the way that the initial one gets recorded is there's just like a blank one and the needle is like making presses in it because when there's noise around there, it makes like a little vibration.
Recording like that back in the day
would have been
a nightmare.
If someone sneezes,
you had to play it perfectly.
Yeah.
And everyone plays at the same time.
Everyone plays at the same time. You know, if someone sneezes, like fuck me. You know, we gotta start over.
Cause like when like the Beatles were like recording, they didn't have like a metronome. You know?
Yeah, they're just going.
It was just like Ringo Starr just playing in time, you know, which is like just a level of skill that is just so lost.
Yeah,
on
very
nowadays.
Unprecedented for sure.
Like his drumming might not be like impressive, but just keeping it that consistent is like all you need. Right?
Yeah, just to do like the full song perfectly the way they want. I mean, would just be really stressful. I feel like
probably expensive. You know,
yeah, expensive to mess up.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, the Breckenridge guy, he gets recorded. The police find it. He probably goes to jail. And when Wesley's butler goes back to check on Mr. Vanderlyle, he's hit over the head with a candlestick by Mr. Vanderlyle, who has Wesley Dodd's notebook.
Very 40s murder.
I'm like, what is this, Clue? Are candlesticks really that fucking sturdy that you can murder somebody with it?
A fancy one, maybe.
A fancy one?
This one's a gold, probably.
Because I know in Clue, it's like, oh, it's Mustard did it with a candlestick or whatever. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that the colonel didn't have an arm.
Oh, yeah. His like sleeves like folded up when they first meet him.
When we first see him, I'm like, okay, yeah, war dude. So this whole time I was like, oh, Evil Sandman's the war dude trying to get his stuff. And that would be a cool twist. But then they're questioning him or he's like being tied up. And I'm like, that dude doesn't have an arm. I don't think it's him.
Yeah.
But he still is involved. He like hired the guy to go do it.
There's a detective that's asking Wesley Dodds like some questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, why is a dead man double parked outside the building?
Yeah.
That was like, that's a little insensitive to what happened.
Being a detective with that kind of humor would be elite.
Yeah.
So this is where we see like the lettering with the onomatopoeia in it. It's like bam, 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 and it's the colonel.
Yeah.
Shooting just kind of into the dark. Pretty cool.
So when he went to the base or whatever, he has to, you know, be pretty stealthy and knock out a couple people.
Yep.
And this like gas gun like shoots pretty far. If you think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, was that like a pellet or something that he shot? Because
I think there's probably different settings.
Yeah, like a shower head.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Or a hose.
Yeah. Like there's a mist setting
or
like
has mist on.
Or a jet setting. Maybe that's part of the like the tube that's like a part of the gun.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like a little knob there and it's like we're gonna do mist or we're gonna do cone.
Yeah. Or sprinkle.
It's always funny when hoses have like 15 settings. It's like who's using all
these? There's really only two.
Who's using more than two that of you're them? Using? It's like it's mist or there's fucking hose. It's like
yeah.
Why you gotta charge more for all these? But yeah, I agree. I think it's like because it seems like you can make it go further and then more pointed if you want to.
So there's a point where he runs into somebody like a janitor or something before he runs into Breckenridge, and the dude like pulls. Or he like sets off an alarm and then a bunch of soldiers come in with gas masks.
Yeah.
And like, how do they know?
Is there a gas mask alarm?
Maybe.
Make sure you do that one.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. I'm sure like Breckenridge or whatever his name is probably like, if there's an alarm that goes off, put on your gas mask. It's probably that guy coming after me like tonight or something like that.
What I didn't anticipate is like he finds Breckenridge, knocks him out. And like kidnaps him, like he takes him.
Yeah,
and he's like on top of a building, and takes him to like an
abandoned warehouse thing.
Yeah, like a separate location
where
he's got his recorder and he's got a bucket of water.
Wakes him up. Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't look like he weighs that much. How much does an arm take off of your body weight?
I don't know, 20 pounds,
probably like 20. Yeah. I got pretty big biceps.
His
stump
is fucking huge. So
it is, dude.
He must have had a fucking cannon on him.
Oh my god, yeah. Those delts that he had were probably crazy.
How's he maintaining that?
Yeah. I don't know. But
and then like so when he kidnaps him, I'm like, what if the journal's in his desk or something that you just like stole him away from?
He probably looked around before. Or no, he didn't have the chance to. Because he was being hunted down by people, right? So he just had to leave.
It seems like he knocked out everybody.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Still.
I don't know. So, issue 6. The Sandman bursts into Vander Lyle's home to save Humphreys. And they scrap for a little bit. Vander Lyle stabs Wesley with his dad's old war bayonet. And Wesley still gets the journal out of Vander Lyle's coat. And he throws it into the fireplace. Which destroys like the toxic gas instructions that everybody was after. But just as Vander Lyle is about to shoot Wesley, Vander Lyle is shot by Diane, who shows up. Wesley faints from blood loss, and then it jumps to 6 months later. Wesley's still kind of recovering, but he's approached to be by the JSA to join the team. And that's how the Sandman started.
Yes, sir.
So pretty cool. I thought it would have been sick if he died. Because I'm like, if he dies like this, this is the best book. This is the best book we've read in a couple months.
Dies via blood loss?
Yeah, because it's like he did his thing. I wouldn't expect it. Because I don't know like if this is supposed to be in continuity technically or whatever. But if it was like its own thing, like I wouldn't expect that at all. But he gets like stabbed. And this, especially with like his dad's old gun, because him and Wesley's dad and this Vander Lyle dude, I guess used to be buddies in the war.
Yeah.
So that would have been kind of hard. For some reason though, there's like a gas dream in the middle of this.
That's a really cool page.
It's a super cool page, especially with like the motion of the bayonet like kind of stabbing towards him.
Yeah.
But I don't know why it's even here. Cause no gas is really used in this fight. So I don't know why there's like these hallucinations.
So sometimes when you do drugs, like MDMA or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It can like, the effects can like wear off. But if you were to like crack your back or like massage like up your spine.
You get some residue?
You can kind of, some of it is kind of like stored and can like be released.
Interesting.
To kind of get like a second wind kind of thing. So I'm assuming it's some sort of like...
He does get punched in the face.
After effects sort of thing. Yeah, when like the blood's flowing like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's true too. Be it. That seems kind of...
Well, he gets like punched in the face or something. And then that's when it happens. So it probably just triggered it then. So or you're saying if I do Molly,
yeah,
I should schedule a massage like a day after that?
I don't know.
Get a little extra?
About the next day, but like...
Maybe 2 days?
Later in the rave, you could also like, you know, get a little more, you know?
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
That's what I heard.
That's
I
good life hack.
I don't know if that's still the case. I don't
it
even know
patched.
If it... Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I guess... Wesley Dodds also has like a grappling gun because he comes like
he swings in
through a window.
I don't know how he figured out what was going on there.
Yeah, like, so is that a part of the gas gun or is that a second gun that he has?
I think he just has another gadget gizmo thing.
Okay, yeah, gadgets are cool.
Yeah, I like that. So the one criticism I do have is that there's like a passing explanation during this fight scene that the original thief that stole the journal was trying to kill Vander Lyle, which is why he was being choked out when Wesley Dodds showed up.
Yeah.
But it's like such a small part that they don't put a lot of focus on it. It was just to like explain how this isn't a plot hole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like,
I mean, it's possible that the thief was like trying to not split like the profit he would have made from selling it.
That was the explanation. Yeah. Okay. He was like trying to, he realized what the notebook was and he tried to get it back to sell it off to whatever nation was going to pay the most for it.
Yeah.
And so that's why he was being choked out a couple issues before.
So Diane's like nephew comes to like live with them or hang out for a bit.
Yeah. I figure he's probably somebody.
His name's Sandy Hawkins, who is also a Sandman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I thought, I was like, that's got to be someone.
So, it seemed like it was put there to be like, this is a reference to some dude later.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of like legacy characters or like a lot of first generation characters in this JSA roster.
Yeah.
There's like an old Green Lantern. That Dr. Fate is like a super early one. And then same thing with the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back matters.
We got nothing.
Nothing. Just a back page.
You see the covers, you know, in between each issue, but that's it. So, what would you rate this book, Daniel? What kind of gas are you rating this?
Kind of gas.
Yeah. I would rate this that like smell of cookies that you get on the credit coaster. It's a good smell.
Incredible. Oh, okay. Yeah, when you go through that,
when you go through the Jack part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd give it like a Wonka bar.
If you're like smelling a Wonka bar?
No, just like eating a Wonka bar.
Oh, okay.
I've never had one, and I don't even know if they necessarily produced them in real life.
I think they did.
It's like that taste of something that. Or the idea of taste of something that was like old, like kind of retro, you know?
Oh, okay.
And like kind of how they mystify like how good the chocolate was in those movies.
Right.
You know? And so I imagine just like that chocolate bar that Charlie gets like once a year on his birthday or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably pretty fire.
Yeah.
You know?
And I would imagine.
But yeah, it's
a good rating.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad it exists. I don't think there's a lot of solo series Sandman stuff like,
yeah, it's cool that it's like out here
of the JSA stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I figured you'd only really see this character in JSA books.
Yeah, and you like, and you wouldn't really know what his deal is, you know.
Yeah, normally. I just like a solo series to kind of like learn about a character.
Yeah, me too. I think this is like, of all the Dawn of DC stuff, this one's super underrated.
I don't even remember.
I barely remember when they announced it, but yeah, there's a couple old timey ones. I think this one was coming out when that Green Lantern Alan Scott one was coming out. It was like around that same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one's really, really good. I definitely recommend it. So, but with that, let's go into the poll list. Colin,
shove in your box. The pull is, the pull is. What did you shove in your box?
What's coming out?
We got Absolute Martian Manhunter number 4.
Yes, sir.
These books come out June 25th. Absolute Wonder Woman number 9. Predator versus Spider-Man number 3.
Ooh.
We got Green Lantern number 4.
Absolute Green Lantern?
Just normal Green Lantern. Number 24.
Oh, 24.
Yeah. Green Lantern Dark number 5.
Oh, yeah.
And the New History of DC number 1. That,
yes.
That book with the cover by...
Somni?
Chris Somni?
Yeah. Who is going to be on that, though?
What, writing?
Yeah. Creative team. Do you remember?
No. Let me see. So, it's a 3-issue mini double-sized Mark Waid and Jerry Ordway.
Oh, okay.
And Todd Nauk?
Nauk?
Nauk.
Nauk? Okay, cool.
So...
That might be cool.
Yeah, I'll see how that goes.
Nice. What did you read this week?
I wanted to bring up some of the stuff that I got from like Comic-Con and whatnot.
Oh, cool.
I didn't really bring it up.
Yeah, I forgot to bring that up last week too.
I got Best of 2000 AD.
Whoa. That's a cool trade.
Yeah. I got this half off from this.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, there's like one booth at Comic-Con that has like
2000 AD stuff, right?
Well, is no.
Because I think...
They had like a bunch of trades and I always go... They have like four long boxes of trades and they're all like half off.
Yeah.
I think there's like an Alan Moore story in there and stuff like that. I think you might see on like the first page.
2000 AD is always like an anthology type thing, right?
Yeah, it'll be like 4 or 5 stories.
Yeah, you got some Alan Moore in here. You got some Dan Abnett. Very cool.
Yeah. I just got an ad from like off panel where like the subscription for 2000 AD, you can get them in like America.
Cool.
It's like expensive for the print, but they also have like a digital one.
Mm.
And you can also, they have like an app and you can...
2000 AD does?
Yeah, it's a free ad, but they have an app and you can like download like any of the archive stuff.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty cool.
That's cool. That's a good pickup.
Yeah, I got this Maxwell the Magic Cat.
Oh, yeah.
By you showed me that. Alan Moore. And I was like...
You think you're a fan of Alan Moore?
I was flipping through it and I saw Alan Moore's name. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
You're not a real fan of Alan Moore unless you've read Maxwell the Magic Cat.
Yes, sir.
If you read Watchmen and V for Vendetta and all this other bullshit, you're not a real fan yet.
Yeah, you don't know ball.
Yeah, you don't know ball.
I got this print by...
Kevin Maguire
of the Watchmen.
Yep.
And his normal like Kevin Maguire style.
Yeah, and that's the reference to the JLA cover.
Yeah.
Where they're all kind of looking up. That's fun.
I just got this for Father's Day. It's like Archie Jumbo Comics.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
Archie Library 361.
It's like a pocketbook thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
My mother-in-law got it for me. I'm like, where'd you get this? She's like, grocery store. I'm like, really? Oh, no shit.
Oh, cool, nice.
Because I see these at
where
the
should get this is funny.
I see this like at the shop. I'm like, did you go to a shop? He's like, nope.
That's funny.
Oh, and then I bought a little something on eBay.
Ooh, another eBay purchase.
It's something I've always wanted and I think is essential to like my final collection. You know, if I ever stop collecting, this is something that
you can be proud of.
It was always going to be a part of it, you know?
Okay. Big buildup.
It is Black Hammer number 1.
No way.
9.8, sir.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, pretty cool, pretty cool.
Now you'll stop bothering me for my Black Hammer.
Yeah, I don't need yours. I got a mint one.
Yeah, I like to just like raw dog my issues. Wow, dude, look at this. Beautiful. That's definitely 9.8.
Yeah, I've always searched for it, looked for
cool,
it
man.
On like my comic shop and eBay, but then just
is that a James Stokoe alien on the back?
Right time. I don't know if it's James Stokoe, but there was always like that alien ad in the back.
Yeah,
when like Dark Horse had the rights.
That's cool, man. That's super cool.
Yeah,
expensive?
Not as much as you think.
Triple digits?
No.
Okay, well, that's good.
What would you guess?
For 9.8 Black Hammer on eBay, did you auction for it or did you just
yes.
buy it? Okay, so you auctioned for it. How long was the auction?
Like a week?
Probably like $53.
Yeah, it was like 60 or something.
Hmm. Nice.
So, yeah, not a lot of watchers.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked on it.
Yeah, very, very good find.
Ooh, one last thing.
Oh, you're purchasing.
I got the Boys Omnibus. They just came out, I guess, like 2 or 3 years ago with like the Boys hardcover.
So how many issues?
This is 30.
Nice.
And this one is special because it's a part of, it's like signed by Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson.
Wow.
And I think it's real. Yeah, it's real.
Okay.
So
they printed those and then they had like a...
They just like were fucking they signed all of them. Okay,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. You're never going to read that.
I'm actually going through it right now.
Oh, really?
I read The Boys.
Because we've read the first two trades for the pod.
Correct.
So that already gets you 10 in-ish.
I read a little bit past that, you know, after we read the second trade, but I read 19 through 22.
Is that where they go to the island?
Where they go to the island.
I remember there was like a Free Comic Book Day issue, which was just a reprint of one issue of The Boys where they go to an island.
No island so far. It was like picking up on, finishing up like a story from the second trade. And then there's also a couple issues where it's just Huey talking to like the Legend, like in his comic shop, and the Legend's like that Stanley-esque character.
Oh, yeah.
He's like kind of talking about like all the inside knowledge that he has. A lot of dialogue, but it'll like cut to...
Is it just Garth Ennis being like criticizing the comics industry or something through the Legend?
No, it's kind of like he's talking about how the comics always related to what was happening in real life.
Yeah.
And he was like the guy who like wrote all of the seven comics and stuff like that, and how he had to like write things in a way to make them look better or whatever.
Got it. That's interesting.
These issues had like the plane scene.
Mm.
You know,
I didn't know the plane scene was in the comics.
Yeah. And yeah, so I've been going through that and it's good stuff. I like it.
Nice.
I also read Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong number one.
Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong 2 number 1?
2 number 1, yes. Nice.
How is it?
It's
well, I like
good
it more
as
than...
you think it will be.
So I'm going to like it more than you probably?
Perhaps, yeah.
Okay.
Because
I think the first one's so good.
I wasn't a huge fan of the first one.
Oh my God, I
loved
it.
And so you'll probably like it. I
loved
it. Got that.
What's funny is that
you
like
you,
and the Godzilla versus Kong movies probably more than me.
Correct.
So it's funny how it's flipped here.
Yeah. So I didn't read 7, but what did you read?
I also didn't read 7. I was busy, but I got Absolute Green Lantern number 2 that I read. Pretty cool. You haven't read any of that, right?
Mm-hmm. So good.
It's great. Dude, Abin Sur, who's like the original Green Lantern before Hal Jordan, he's in this, but he's like a villain. And I swear to God, he's like Boo from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh yeah, you said that.
He's like this like very scary, ultra powerful anime alien villain.
Does he have an M tattooed on his head?
No, he doesn't, but he fucking kills people.
Dang.
Like chops someone's hands off if they like point a gun at him, like type shit. It's awesome.
That's cool.
I like that book so far.
So is it like kind of hard to get the ring from him, or is there people who already have rings?
So there's no rings so far.
Ah.
So it's just kind of, he just can do that.
It's just a mindset.
He can just do that. And like Joe Mullian is in it. She could just do it. John Stewart's in it. He's like, I have this ring.
Joe Mullian, is that a character that's existed before?
That's the Far Sector one.
Oh, okay.
So the timeline is kind of like chopped up a little bit. So it's like the Abin Sur thing happens and no one can really defend against it. And there's like a time period jump, like a little bit in the future. And Joe Mullian has like some Green Lantern powers. But at the end of this one, John Stewart is like, I have this ring. Can we do something with this? And that's kind of like, I think, going to be the introduction of a ring. I don't know how they're going to do it yet, but I like it so far. I read Superman Unlimited number 1.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
I think. And it's kind of interesting because I don't really know what to expect from it, but it seems like this first issue is kind of like a rehash of just everything that Superman's kind of been through in continuity, but like just kind of the highlights. It's like him remembering certain stuff, even all the way up to like Bendis run stuff, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. But he's very sincere. I think he's really good at a Superman voice, kind of like a hopeful kind of voice, and just being like this like unapologetic source of hope.
Yeah.
So really good. I probably won't pick up the next one though.
Right.
New Gods number 6. I forgot I had that and I hadn't read it yet. This is the one with the black racer. I don't know if you read this.
I think I'm one or two behind.
Felipe Andrade does most of the art on this one. He's so good. I have no idea what happened though.
So the black racer is the one that like the Flash like kind of becomes at one point
during like
Darkseid War,
Twisted Metal or whatever that shit was called.
Death Metal.
Death Metal, yeah. I think that's when it was. Maybe. Oh no, Darkseid War. Yeah, I think he became
Black Racer. Yeah, because Batman becomes like Mobius or whatever.
Yeah, Morbius.
Or no, it's like there's the Mobius chair.
Yeah,
and he's like
Mobius
Light Ray or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So he becomes.
That shit was crazy. I just kind of started picking that up.
That shit was crazy.
Like, I picked up those books just because it had, like, a one on it. But it was, like, the first of that trade. But it was, like, the last of New 52, I think.
Yeah, last of New 52 Justice League. So, really good. Felipe Andrade. Fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And I think it was kind of like an origin of Black Racer. But I was trying to remember where the last issue ended. Because I knew that Justice League had, like, popped up. So I was like, what the fuck was happening? But I think it's just an origin for Black Racer. I just didn't really understand. But really good. I read some more of the Chip Daredevil run. I forget how sexy, kind of horny that book is. Because it's just like Matt running around banging people.
Yeah. Always the baddies.
Which is cool. And then I read Battle Beast number 1.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
Really fun.
Hmm?
I like the dynamic of the ship that hates him. And so they both kind of had the same goal of like getting him killed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of funny.
Yeah,
or there's like a little helpless alien that he picks up and he's like, I'm gonna eat him later.
It's good that Robert Kirkman's still like making comics, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And Otley definitely still has it.
Mm.
So pretty sweet.
Yeah, good to see him on some stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was everything I read.
I watched Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, cool.
You ever heard of that?
Mm. Yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah, I like
the live action one.
No, just the anime.
Yeah.
The first episode is like such a vibe because it's 90s sci-fi anime.
Yeah.
And it's so cool.
And like dudes are smoking.
Yeah.
Like all over the place.
There's like space drugs and stuff.
Yeah, I think I've watched the first episode a long time ago and I don't know if I knew enough about animation to really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that it kind of hits that like specific nostalgia, I guess, for, you know, 90s anime.
Yeah.
I thought that show was only like 10 episodes, but apparently it's like 30 or something.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought it was shorter than that.
Yeah, I thought so too. But it's just the one season. I watched like half of it, but I haven't really been like, it's been like my midnight show kind of thing or sure. Middle of the night show. And so I'm not always like awake for it, but it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
I probably won't finish it, but there's like an episode where he like, what's the dude's name, Scout or something, Spike, his name's Spike. He goes into like a bar and he gets into like a bar fight and cool. there's like Mexicans in there and it's just kind of funny seeing Mexicans in like an anime. And you know they're Mexican because they're brown, they have ponchos on.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, sombreros.
That's what I wear to the bar, dude. Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh,
that's awesome.
It's really funny.
Like, what does a Mexican look like?
Yeah. I watched the first episode of Revival.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's on YouTube. You can just watch the first episode on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. Sci-Fi just like posted it.
Cool.
Yeah. Pretty good. It's got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's pretty high.
For the audience. Yeah. So that's pretty good.
That's almost the max.
I didn't like love the dialogue because the first issue is the first episode, right? So they're like,
okay,
they're like stretching it out.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
they gotta like add, they gotta stuff, add, you know,
some filler.
And I think just when you watch adaptations of comics with like, you know, like kind of a smaller budget like this, it can kind of just seem a little cheesy, you know, just because you know how it works in the comic and then you just see them adapt it and just kind of is like a little off, but Sarah seemed pretty interested by it. So,
oh, really? That's good.
Yeah.
So is there far, a ghost? So good.
There's no ghost so is, far.
Was there some horror stuff in there?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Was it good?
Yeah, good horror stuff.
Cool.
No Zorse. It's just a normal horse.
They took out the Zorse?
No Zorse. It's just a horse.
I'm boycotting.
I was explaining to Sarah like that, and she's like, "That's what you remember?" I'm like, "I'm glad you remember that." I'm like, "Okay, I'll just stop talking."
There's a Zorse later. Be like, "See,
there it is." Watch Prometheus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, had no clue what was going on.
Yeah,
no freaking xenomorphs, dude.
No,
I was like,
"It's not an alien movie."
But it is.
But it is.
Yeah.
And that's the appeal.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting that, but really solid stuff.
Yeah, there's really muscular, bald white men. Do you like that?
Yeah, I love it. Big fan. I was like, what kind of gyms they have in space, dude? The fucking traps on those guys were crazy.
Yeah, I think just gravity is maybe heavier for them or something. Yeah, so naturally, probably. You're just a lot stronger.
Yeah. The
Michael Fassbender's in that one too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's awesome.
It's been forever since I've seen Prometheus.
Michael Fassbender makes like every movie like 20% better, I think.
Dude, he's so good.
Yeah. So, big fan.
He's great in Covenant.
He is great in Covenant.
Did you watch Covenant?
I also watched Covenant.
Oh my God. I love that movie.
Yeah, no, it was fucking sick. So, I like how they are like continuing the trend of like alien movies where like women are the main character.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's important.
Yeah.
And works really well. I guess Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
He had like a plan to make like 6 prequel movies. I kind of wish he did because that'd be so cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember Prometheus and I remember being very confused by it, but I loved Covenant and I think that was a really good one.
Yeah. Prometheus is the one where they like, they find the ship and it's got like Idris Elba in it and Charlize Theron. Yeah. It's got an old Guy Pearce. You know, he's got like old man makeup on.
Cool.
And his like goal is to like find his creator, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Which one did you like more?
Covenant, definitely.
Okay.
Covenant's like top 3.
It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Michael Fassbender had a clone of himself and then they kiss?
Yeah, that was the best.
I was like, this movie's awesome.
Solidified it for me.
I was like, when it happened, I was like,
me
no.
too, man. Yeah.
Just the romantic tension there.
Yeah.
I remember was like, you could cut it with a knife. And I was like, are they gonna do that? And then they kiss, and I was like blown away for some reason.
there's a scene where David has like a flute or something, and he gives it to Walter, who's like the newer Michael Fassbender droid.
Yeah.
And he's like, you blow and I'll do the fingering.
Wait, really?
That's a real line.
That's a real line that they said?
That's true dialogue.
You blow, I'll do the fingering. Wow. True visionary, that Ridley Scott guy.
And I guess, like, Walter had found, like, the flute. And he's like, if you whistle, I'll come. And I was like... he's like, whistle and I'll come. I'm like, wow.
Oh, cool. That's all it takes, huh?
This movie's kind of funny because, like, it's a little whitewashed. You know, the xenomorphs, they're, like, white. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And
Danny McBride's in it.
Danny McBride.
Mm-hmm.
And he survives. So I'm like, oh, this gets an extra star.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
Because I was like, I don't want to see this. And I don't want to see him die. That'd be terrible.
Yeah, that would be terrible. He seems like the guy that would die in a movie like this.
Yeah.
So.
Because he's like, seems like the most like unlikely and maybe like the clumsiest, you know, with like his comedy background.
Yeah.
James Franco's in it.
Oh, yeah.
He burns up immediately.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, that's held up.
All right. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to rewatch this movie.
The people on the crew, like Covenant's like the ship, and they all have these cute like Covenant shirts, you know?
Team Covenant.
Yeah. There's like these plants that people like step on and it releases like this pathogen that affects them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, like that seems like it would take down anybody, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably what knocked out like all the animals on the planet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I was a little confused by is like, so David like is trying to create like the perfect organism or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has eggs. The eggs, right? With the facehuggers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, doesn't he need like a queen in order to lay the eggs?
Probably.
That's how like I do like the cycle to be, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think he needs the queen. So I don't think he sees the xenomorph as it currently is as a perfect organism.
Right.
But it's a good jumping off point, maybe.
Yeah.
And so he just needed the egg portion of it.
Right. I guess a lot of people didn't really like this movie because like everyone's kind of dumb in this movie. But like also these people haven't seen an alien movie.
Yeah.
So they don't know what not to do. Exactly. Like don't look in the egg kind of thing.
Yeah. If you're a scientist going to a different planet, you want to like make sure you're uncovering every stone or whatever.
Yeah.
So
Prometheus is definitely really different than I'm sure people were expecting.
And yeah.
Covenant's kind of the more of like return to form kind of thing.
Prometheus is like the Blade Runner of alien movies.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like super deep, dark sci-fi.
Yeah.
Like ideas.
For sure. There is a...
So you've seen all of them now, right? All the alien stuff?
Except for AVP, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I saw AVP when like as a kid, but...
Mm-hmm.
There's a shot of like the xenomorph's like point of view, like when it was like crawling through the ship.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is crazy because it's like,
yeah, I don't remember that.
It's kind of like a grainy filter kind of. So it's like behind the face is like an eye, I guess, or the whole head is like an eye in a way.
Right.
So I was like,
they're seeing through that fold.
I just like didn't expect that. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or whatever.
Add some lore in there.
I wonder. I don't know if it's like the same if like you're playing like an alien video game where you're hunting down your friends or whatever, but it was just kind
of
neat.
Yeah, I don't think they do that in any of the alien games.
I think I was a little spoiled by like Alien Genocide, like that comic that we read,
mm-hmm.
where they're on like an alien planet. Because I think it would be really satisfying one day when we just see like a swarm of xenomorphs just running across like a landscape, you know, because that seems like the scariest shit ever.
And you don't get that in like Alien 3 or whatever?
No, there's one in Alien 3.
Isn't there one where there's just like a lot of aliens? It might be AVP. I don't know.
Yeah.
there's one movie where there's a lot of them and it's like you become like desensitized to it.
Yeah. In the AVP lore, the predators, they like plant the eggs in order to like make xenomorphs so that they have something to hunt.
Cool.
And so it's like maybe there's a lot in that aspect.
Yeah.
So I did plan on watching those just to kind of
okay, nice.
You know, just to have it all.
That's cool. That's cool. You've seen all of them.
Well, I watched The Accountant 2.
Nice.
To awe to tism. Yeah. It is on Prime.
Accountant.
Pretty soon after coming out in the theaters.
Yeah. I hear it's good. Did you watch the first one too, right?
Yeah, I just watched that one. The first one's way better.
You think so?
Yeah.
People really like the second one though.
Really? I've been hearing just everyone I've talked to about it like didn't like the second one.
Really?
You know. Mm. J.K. Simmons dies in this one.
He does?
Yeah, not a fan of that.
Bad movie.
He's the human equivalent of a dog.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't have it. So like
I don't even know he's in the movie.
Yeah, I was a little zooted watching it. And as it was ending, I'm like, did I miss something? Like, it seems like a weird ending. Like, things are wrapping up, and then, like, there's like a, they're driving along in a country, and they're like, we did it, or whatever. And I was like, wait, are they done? Like, it just kind of felt like they didn't wrap up everything, but I guess they did, kind of thing.
Mm.
And it was weird, like, all the different plot lines that kind of like, ended at like different times. It almost felt like they'd end at the same time kind of thing.
So did it not feel like there was a grand climax?
Yeah, there was, but like it didn't feel that satisfying, I guess.
Hmm.
And so I rewatched it the next day and I'm like, yeah, no, this is a little convoluted.
You rewatched the same movie the same day?
Well, they ended
the next
it.
Day? Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so...
So you double-checked your work.
Yeah, I thought I was... just confused because I was zooted, but I was just confused because it's confusing, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, what'd you watch?
Nothing.
You watched nothing.
Nothing new.
What,
We finished Solo Leveling, so we're back on Avatar, and we finished the first season of that, which is really good. It like starts to like pick up some steam at the end of the first season, which is when like the Sokka's like moon girlfriend becomes a thing.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that shit's crazy. There's like a really scary scene in there where I'm like, this would fuck me up as a kid. But there's like a Aang's in like the Avatar state, and he's supposed to like talk to this entity that you're not supposed to like show any emotion towards. Mm-hmm. Like if you're happy or if you're scared or something, it'll steal his face. And so,
oh yeah,
and it's this like weird worm looking thing that's really fucked up looking. And as he's like about to go into it, he's like finding monkeys with like no faces and stuff.
Yeah,
I vaguely remember that part of it, but I was like, man, this is.
Can you look up that worm? Like, I feel like that is in my memory, but
it is.
I would need to see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
That seems like it'd be in a later season. How many seasons was that? Like 4?
Just 3.
Really?
It's just water, earth, and fire.
Oh.
Avatar.
What about air, dude?
He already knows that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Ko the Face Stealer. And it's like, is this thing? Look at that.
Yeah, dude, that thing's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it's like a centipede thing, and it, like the face changes when it like blinks to like different faces that it's stolen before.
Yeah.
And then it just has to be like, nonchalant.
It's up on me. Yeah. Dude, that looks like.
So I remember that. We watched that and I was like, the show's weird.
That looks like a One Punch Man villain, dude.
Yeah. So, show's good. There's a part where like the moon goes away and everything's like black and white, except for when they bend like fire.
Yeah. Isn't the moon like red or something?
For a little bit, it turns red, and then for a little bit, it's like gone.
Hmm.
And so everything's like gray, except for if they're like fire bending. So, visually, it's really good.
Nice.
So, yeah, we've just been watching that.
She's never watched that, right?
No.
Right. That's cool.
She seems like it. She wants to make Killala Appa for Halloween this year, which I think is good.
So you're going to shave your head?
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I haven't watched any new movies or played any new games. Just kind of same old stuff this week.
Mm. Okay. Cool. So what are you going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
What do we got coming up?
We got Superman, baby.
Superman?
Superman.
Oh, shit. What are we going to do for that?
We're going to do Superman Birthright.
All right.
By Mark Waid and Lionel Francis Yu.
Yep.
And
Goats.
Yeah. That one be a little bit longer because it's like 12 issues, but I'm going to go through it fast.
But it should be good. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Superman movie's coming out. It's a big deal. Hopefully it's good.
Probably will be, I guess.
Yeah, probably will be. I don't know.
So pretty exciting.
Yeah. So look forward to that.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Link is in our bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. Email in.
TradeWarriorsPod@gmail.com. Let us know a different solo series for a character that is like kind of legacy.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of fire. That's what this was.
Definitely. And goodbye.
Goodbye.